CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. New hope of a hostage release in Gaza. Mark Regev, senior advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu.
We might be closer than ever before, but it's not done until it's done.
Sources tell CBS News negotiators are quite close. North Korea believed to have made its third try at putting a spy satellite into orbit this year. Reporter Alex Jensen from Seoul.
Amid concerns about North Korea's ongoing military development, South Korea suggested it may partially suspend a 2018 inter-Korean agreement designed to prevent border clashes.
U.S. airports, including New York's LaGuardia, are filling up this busy Thanksgiving Tuesday.
I've traveled many times for vacation, so I know it's going to be crazy. I'm glad to be here early so I can get my flight.
Massive storms pushing toward the East Coast could become a huge test for airlines. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree with you more.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments on a lawsuit today challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Marquette University's Craig Gilbert says it's not clear what new maps would look like even if the high court finds the current maps unconstitutional.
Is a neutral map a 50-50 map in 50-50 Wisconsin? Or is it a neutral map, one that just pays no attention to politics and follows the geography of the state?
Gilbert spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Numbers from the first weekend of Wisconsin's gun deer season come out today. Last week, the Department of Natural Resources predicted this year's harvest could be down due to mild weather and no snow. Last year, Wisconsin hunters killed more than 203,000 deer. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. An argument to move the case against the teenager accused of murdering Lily Peters to juvenile court has been filed. The defense for the teenager argued juvenile court would be enough to ensure the public's safety and hold the teen accountable for the offense, saying the now 15-year-old boy didn't understand the consequences of his actions when the crime took place. The boy is accused of attacking, raping, and killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in April of 2022. The state wishes the case to stay in adult court. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has announced Dollar General has agreed to pay over $800,000 for alleged violations of overcharging customers. According to a TMJ4 report, price verification at 238 Dollar General stores in the state found 662 items were an average 17% more expensive than were listed on the store shelves. Dollar General said it has invested more resources in price verification to eliminate the issues. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida, a better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University. Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in practice Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with a 5-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. He's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 43 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 10 to 20. Tonight, 24. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 45. Then on Thanksgiving Day, it is going to be partly cloudy and a whole lot colder with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, it's here, man. The state Supreme Court is hearing the case of
Clark
versus, what is it called, Sandy? You know what it is.
The Electoral Commission?
Elections Commission.
Yep,
yes, sir.
Yep, yep. Clark versus, and the nature of it is that it's an action being brought to contest whether the lines as drawn are constitutional. A couple of arguments that are being presented to the court about why they might be unconstitutional. One of them is that the Constitution provides that districts are to be contiguous.
Yes.
And not to have, and the current district has islands.
So contiguous.
Contiguous meaning that address, meaning yeah. that all parts of the district are in contact with one another. There's no island that's not in contact. And what they've done is they've created districts that might have townships, for instance. Townships have islands. Townships are the unincorporated parts, okay? And so they've taken townships and included all of the township in a district, and left, therefore, portions of the district not contiguous to one another. And the argument on the other side, the Republican argument, is, well, that's the way it's been done before, and so it's okay. But the Constitution seems to provide language that's specific about not permitting that. And then the second argument is that the map that was currently adopted is the same map that was adopted by the legislature and vetoed by the governor. And so, therefore, when the Supreme Court enacted that map, they were essentially overriding the veto of the governor, and it was essentially a breakdown of the division of powers between the judicial and the legislative branches. Those are kind of the characterization of two of the technical arguments being presented.
But Sandy, if what the Republicans are saying is true. Since 2012, they've continued to control
Well, I mean,
religiously.
You mean what if the Republican map is upheld?
It's, right.
Yes. I mean, ever since 2012, the level of Republican representation in the state house has vastly exceeded the percentage of votes on a per capita basis that Republicans have realized across the state. And the Democrats like to point at that fact circumstance to say that's a fact circumstance that demonstrates that the maps were gerrymandered in a political sense to create a bias in favor of the Republicans. And people who measure gerrymandering and bias from gerrymandering in that fashion would point at Wisconsin as being possibly the most gerrymandered state because we have probably the greatest disproportion between the headcount vote in the state and the state house representation party-wise in the state. And so, you know, that's what's at stake in this contest would be a redrawing of the map to potentially create less bias in that fashion based on the lines drawn.
And it would mean overturning 2020 elected seats.
It wouldn't mean overturning the seats. It might mean that in the next election, the districting would be drawn differently so that the incumbents might have a different constituency to deal with when they run for
re-election.
And they're
going to have to run again.
They would have to decide whether they're going to run again in the reconstituted district. You know, they might find themselves living outside of the district in which they have been representing in the past.
So the argument from the Republicans is, okay, you guys are going to gerrymander it to favor Democrats because with the new Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, she's going to lean more to the Democrats, and you guys are going to undo and unbalance the things that
we
have put in place.
It's a little goofy to say that because they continue to control the legislature, so that to the extent the maps get redrawn, and if they get redrawn by the legislature will have the first crack at the drawing of the maps. And there is a dynamic then, sort of a tension between the legislative and the judiciary as to the map and the drawing of the map. But just because there might just be projecting their own instincts when they make that accusation, because this next map will clearly be under a microscope. It'll be under a judicial microscope. It'll be subject to appeal. And so, you know, I'm not sure that it's clear that you can say sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Because the gerrymandering that went on in 2011 was the most open and cynical form of gerrymandering I think the state has ever had, because it was discussed openly that the attempt was going to be made to create as much bias in favor of the majority party as possible in the districting of the drawing of the districts for the state.
You know, Sandy, and as you stated, I mean, the nation's going to be watching because you said that it might be the most gerrymandered district. It has been written that it is one of the worst in the entire nation, and favoring Republicans. So let me
say, though, that I've always said, yes, I do believe that the districts were malignantly drawn in favor. But I do think that the redness of rural America and the blueness of densely populated urban America has contributed to this problem, because the dense population of the dense concentration of Democrats in urban areas creates a difficulty in terms of line drawing to create districts that don't end up to some extent favoring the rural vote.
So help us understand, Governor Evers attempted to kind of balance it out, and it didn't come out much better for Democrats.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons, is that it does get more difficult to draw lines that don't reflect some disproportionate benefit to the rural vote because of the denseness of the population concentration of Democrats. And to the extent that Democrats are an urban phenomena and Republicans are a rural phenomena, you end up with a partisan advantage.
Well,
it used to be the case that Democrats was the Democratic vote was not such an urban phenomena in Wisconsin. And we had cities, smaller cities all around the state, and farmers all around the state who were pulling the blue lever as well as the red lever. It was not as clearly geographically denominated as it has become. And I would lay to the feet of the Democratic Party the one goal we need to have, as if we consider ourselves Democrats. I guess I'm an independent, so I use the word we maybe incorrectly. But the Democrats need to have a goal, I think, of reaching more effectively into rural Wisconsin and to have a different message. And I think civic media is designed to be a medium in which we in civic media are speaking to the entire state, rural and urban, and letting them, people, our listeners across the state, make decisions on their own about what is in their interest.
You know, if you're just joining us, Sandy Williams is my co-host every Tuesday, and we're talking about the long-awaited debate which is taking place, I guess, as we speak, Sandy, at the state Supreme Court on the districting issues that have been an ongoing issue and problem. Let me ask you, Sandy, then what is it that can be done based on what you just got through saying, that the way the state is set up now, Democrats are where the Democrats are, Republicans are where the Republicans are. How is that going to be changed?
Well, I mean, the district lines are jerry-rigged, okay? Gerrymandered, I say jerry-rigged. When you look at the districts, you can see that there has been some artifice applied, a great deal of discretion applied to how they're drawn, so that the whole stacking and packing phenomena has, I think, been taken to the ultimate, okay? So that to the extent that Democrats are concentrated, the drawing of the lines has maximized the disadvantage that can cause Democrats in terms of how the lines are drawn, and it has maximized the potential benefit of that to the Republican side. And so there is a redrawing of the lines that would be probably fairer and would minimize neutralize the extent to which a benefit is created simply by the drawing of the lines. And the benefits or the advantages would be simply proportionate to the issue of where people are physically located.
Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and we're talking about the redistricting problem that has been an ongoing problem in the state of Wisconsin. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. So let me ask you.
After all the things we've done and seen, you find another man. The things you think are useless, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the east? Throwing away the time. Are you gathering up the keys?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly.
Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Needles and pins.
Needles and pins.
How many?
It's like an Italian song.
How many record hits do you think they made?
I think that's it.
Oh, okay. it's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, we're talking about the Supreme Court, State Supreme Court, and it is visiting the redistricting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the lines that are drawn to create the lines that determine who's in the state Senate and the state assembly.
Yeah.
Where, you know, what and who the electors are that they are the people that they're chasing the votes of. You know, what comes to mind in this discussion, I said before the break about how it is that civic media is trying to aim the discussion at all of the state, urban and rural, to talk about the issues that are important to us locally. And so one of the things that comes to mind as a question is, since 2011, since 2012 and the elections of 2012, there has been a disproportionate power of Republicans in the state house. And those Republicans primarily are representative of suburban and rural Wisconsin. And so the state house has been controlled by, and the budgets created have been controlled by the Republicans. And my question, I guess, to listeners out there that we have that live in the non-densely populated urban sectors of the state is, what kind of advantage have they experienced? What benefits has the legislature provided to their constituents who do have disproportionate power in the state house as the result of both the demographics of the state as well as the line drawing that has been ongoing? And has there been a substantial benefit that's been realized by rural Wisconsin? Because my sense is not. But I don't live there, and I'm asking the question. My sense is that what's happened is we've ended up with a fight about what kind of aid is provided to urban Wisconsin, and however, not much in the way of positives with respect to what is provided to less urban Wisconsin.
You know, Sandy, and it's a great question. And so Amory, 1260 AM Lake Eyre. How have things improved for you in Amory since Republicans have been in control of the state house? And what about you, Hayward? The buzz of the North at 910 AM WBZH. Let us know how things have changed and made things a little bit better for you since Republicans have been in charge of the state. It's a fair question, Sandy.
Well, I think it is, because if we're going to argue about whether districting is done correctly or incorrectly, the outcome of districting is the policies that are adopted by the legislature. And maybe we're just having an argument about something that doesn't really matter to people, because maybe they haven't been experiencing benefits out of the currently drawn lines, and maybe they would have just as much upside opportunity to have better, to realize more benefits in a different circumstance.
Sandy, I sometimes wonder if a broader percentage of the American people really understand the inner workings of all of the government and the complexities of it. We can talk about the redistricting and those kinds of things, but I don't think people really understand.
Well, I was involved in a redistricting in 1971 for the 1972 elections in the state. I was a representative of the governor on a committee that was a small private committee, probably operating sub rosa outside of the rules of public access. But it was surprising to me then the amount of self-interest that was employed in the process. I mean, the first thing that happened was the congressional districting was handed to the incumbent congressional representatives, and they were told to draw up the lines and make the recommendations. And all of them drew lines that protected their incumbency. And in fact, I think that was a year in which there was a loss of a congressional seat. And in the case of the loss of the congressional seat, there was sort of an agreement reached between the congresspeople as to which congressperson would retire and lose their seat. I mean, there's just a lot of self-interest that goes into this, and the incumbents are protecting themselves. It's paint me in kind of thinking. And that's not really in the public interest, right? That's in the private interest of the legislatures themselves. And a great deal of districting is handled in that sort of private interest nature. And I think the public ought to wake up and get more active.
You know, Sandy, clearly it's an issue that is at the center of it, a battle that Republicans are willing to fight and Democrats are willing to fight and to get control over what happens. And the United States or the state Supreme Court seat of Janet Protasiewicz is one that is going to be in a position to kind of change some things that Democrats have been waiting for now for 11 years. Republicans are aware of it, and well, they're not going to go easily.
Well, Newt Gingrich and the Republican think tanks of the 1990s saw this much more clearly than Democrats did. They saw the power of the state house. They saw the power of state Supreme Courts, and they began to focus a great deal of partisan attention on both and a great deal of partisan attention on the districting, the redistricting of the lines in the state house to create a greater probability that Republicans would control state houses. And the fact is that Republicans control far more state houses than they do governorships, okay? And they control more state houses than they do senators, okay? And so that's a clear reflection of the effectiveness of the strategy. And I think what's happened is there's been a wake-up call to that and a desire to maybe get things back to closer to neutral.
All right, so when we get back, we've got a couple of the topics that we want to talk about, Sandy, and one of them is how much money does it take for Americans to be happy? I'll trade my bank account for my good friends over here. I don't know. No, listen, I'm only kidding.
I think this question is a very pertinent one, because yeah. I'm fixated on the median family, and it turns out that the polling that's been done demonstrates that many families, well beyond the median family, need more money to be happy.
All joking aside, and people think a whole lot of money, but it's not always a whole lot of money. It's all relative to who you are. 844-967-2789. Join us.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge in Chippewa Falls will decide by January if a boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as a juvenile or as an adult. Lawyers for the accused teenager made their case at a hearing yesterday. They listed more than a dozen reasons why they think the suspect should be tried as a juvenile. Among other things, they say he'd be better served by Wisconsin's juvenile justice system. The boy was 14 at the time. Dollar General stores will pay $850,000 after an investigation of inaccurate price tags at stores across Wisconsin. State investigators say on average, prices were 17% higher than listed. Dollar General is agreeing to accuracy checks every 90 days, but is not admitting to breaking any laws. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement authorities have announced Shane Helmbrecht has been detained in Mexico about 2 months after he left a group home he was court-ordered to reside in. Helmbrecht was living in the group home after being found incompetent to stand trial for the murder of Jen Ward and left without telling anyone he was leaving or where he was going. A nationwide bench warrant was issued for Helmbrecht to return to Wisconsin, and he is currently being held in a jail in Chicago awaiting extradition. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials say confusion about the legal age to purchase tobacco products may be to blame for the rise in underage tobacco and vape sales. Under Wisconsin state law, residents can buy tobacco products at age 18, but the age was raised to 21 back in 2019 under federal law, which supersedes the state age of 18. In response, a bipartisan group of lawmakers is preparing legislation to change the state law and raise the minimum age to 21 to buy tobacco products. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida. A better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University. Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in practice Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with a five-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. He's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 43 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 10 to 20. Tonight, 24. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 45. Then on Thanksgiving Day, it is going to be partly cloudy and a whole lot colder with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap UK.
The world.
Brad, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's my co-host, Sandy. And you know, Sandy, what's the guy's name, man?
Mick Jagger?
Mick Jagger.
You know, I didn't see the Rolling Stones till I was about 60, and so were they. And in Milwaukee the Pfizer Forum?
Yeah, Pfizer. So Mick Jagger, they just released a new album.
Oh, I know. They're still at it. And Mick Jagger's, but he's only like a month off my age. You know, we're like contemporaries. He's still hard at it, rocking.
It's amazing when you know.
He's an economist, too. You know, he went to London School of Economics.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, the fact that they're still at it, I don't think anybody back in the 1960s and late 1960s and early 70s would have said, hey, the Rolling Stones are still going to be producing music in 2023.
Yeah. There was a lot of people who didn't think much about what was going to be happening in 2023.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about a little bit about, you know, the American people. And Sandy, you always talk about, you know, the average American family and all those things. And so this article is how much money Americans say it takes to be happy. And that's all predicated on age, demographics, where people live, whether they're male or female. But one thing's for certain, Sandy, too large a swath of the nation doesn't agree with what's happening to them right now.
Well, they aren't experiencing the prosperity. You know, in 2020, 90% of Americans earned less than $125,000 a year. Families. The median family today earns $75,000 a year. And median meaning half of Americans earn less than $75,000 a year, and a significant percentage of them earn less than $50,000 a year. So we've got many people, and all sorts of polling has demonstrated that if you earn less than $125,000 a year as a family today, you are living paycheck to paycheck. Living paycheck to paycheck means you don't save money. You simply declare success when you can pay all your bills on time. And many families are living under the stress of the fear that they can't pay all their bills on time. They aren't saving money. They aren't able to pay off the debts. They are reaching periodically into credit cards to cover the nut that they have to pay and are digging a bit of a hole for themselves with credit card debt. I mean, we just have a lot of financial stress ongoing, and it isn't the result of inflation. It's the result of the income spread in America.
So Sandy, credit card debt is not a bit of a hole. It's a major hole.
Well, if you have it, right, and if you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's a major hole because the interest you're paying is major, 20%, 18%, meaning that
you'll never get out of it. Almost, it's almost guaranteed.
Yeah, you have to fall into some money to pay it off. You know, you have to win a small lottery,
which we know the majority of the people won't.
Yeah,
and so part of where this unhappiness is that I was able to get enough credit that really got me in a hell of a place that I can never get out of.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that we have a strong economy, very strong economy. We have more and more people who are earning more. But we still have this problem with middle-class America and the stress, the financial stress that middle-class America lives under, because no longer, unlike in your period of time with middle-class America earning a material sum of money sufficient to buy a house, have a car, right, go on vacations, et cetera.
Live the American dream.
Live the American dream, have a retirement that was provided to them under benefits, not worry about health care. We just have a whole lot of different financial stress that has been created, not by this temporary phenomena of inflation, which has maybe aggravated it, but the underlying problem is this living paycheck to paycheck because of the loss of health care benefits, that used to be common in the economy and now are personal expenses for people, as well as the cost of education, the cost of daycare. And daycare has become a different phenomenon than it was when we were young, because now almost every household has two breadwinners, not one. And so daycare is a necessity.
So, Sandy, you add that educational debt on to all the other things.
Right.
And there almost is no way out. We can talk about it. You talk about it. But we have a government that just doesn't seem to be hearing it. Well, Joe Biden was, to be quite honest, he was hearing it.
Well, he was hearing it, but the answer is a Band-Aid, which is debt forgiveness, which doesn't solve the problem in the future for the people who will be going to school and needing to either incur debt or find some other solution. The fact is that other countries in the world, every other developed country in the world just about, has provided for education after high school on a no-cost or very low-cost basis to the citizenry. They have provided health care in some fashion for the cost of health care, access to and the cost of health care being supported by the government, as well as daycare. And so these are the very elements that are creating a great deal of the pressure on middle-class America today, and it's why middle-class America today in these polls says we need more money to be happy. For some of them, it's not a mountain of money. It's like $25,000 a year.
You know, Sandy, the people in La Crosse, Eagle, 1490 AM, or the people in Oshkosh, 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, if you ask them, they'll say, well, what's at the root of it is I'm not making enough money. I'm working every day, but I'm falling further and further behind because I, on my paycheck, am not making enough money. At the root of all of it is that.
Yes. I mean, what's happening in America is, to some extent, our version of capitalism is limping and beginning to fail because of the fact that our middle class has declined in size and has also declined in status with respect to the amount of income earned as compared to the amount of income needed to cover these various necessities. And these necessities have changed the way they present themselves to the public, because it used to be that healthcare came with your job. Used to be that daycare wasn't so required because most middle class families had one breadwinner, not two. Now we have two. So that's right there represents a decline to some extent in the value being earned by middle-class America. And then we have the cost of education as well and retirement, which is no longer handled as effectively as a benefit through work. Used to be that people had defined benefit plans at work that told them how much money they would earn when they retired. Defined benefits were eliminated. Now it became something like a 401k. 401ks have become increasingly self-funded. Guess what? To fund your 401k, you have to have a surplus of cash flow sufficient to fund your 401k. So for many people, this fight to meet your monthly budget comes at the expense of funding your 401k.
So people are frustrated, understandably so, whether they're in rural America, whether they're in urban America. Because again, Sandy, we're talking about not people being paid a livable wage. When we talk about livable wage, it means, hey, look at that in my time when I had a young family and was coming up, we made a livable wage. We went to work and we made a wage that allowed us to live the American dream. That's not the case anymore. So because you don't make a livable wage, everything is magnified. The food prices have gone up. The fuel prices are going up.
Well, what's magnified is the impact it has when food prices go up, when gasoline, because the cushion that's available to cushion you against that cash flow risk is much less, and there is no cushion if you're living paycheck to paycheck. My concern is that the people who live this way need to then focus on their self-interest when they, for instance, go to the voting booth, because getting a modest, a small tax cut is not going to solve the problem of health care costs. Okay, what they need is the government to implement programs which will lift from them the obligation to bear expensive health care insurance, maybe bury it then in taxes, which will be spread across a broad population, including those who make much more money than they do, and make it affordable, okay? And make it affordable to the very people who for whom it is now a difficulty, which is middle-class America, the 90% of Americans who earn less than $125,000 a year.
But people have been led to believe that it's an embarrassment if you're asking for a handout.
Well, this is not most countries don't view investments in their people as handouts.
But
okay?
in this country, we do, unfortunately. Yes,
unfortunately, I think we've backed ourselves into a corner of treating government programs as if they are gratuitous handouts rather than the return to the people of the investment each of them is making in government to create a vibrant population that is capable of sustaining a vibrant economy for everyone's benefit.
So how do you begin, Sandy? And I know it's a difficult undertaking, but it's one that must take place long-term for our nation to have stability long-term. I don't think to think that our nation can continue down the path that is going right now, Sandy, with not creating balance in things, making sure that when people work, I mean, it's still unbelievable to think that there are people working. I was talking with a friend the other day, and he was telling me, and I was looking at Sandy at some, and I got it right here. I was going to talk about this yesterday. A lot of retired people, here are jobs for people who are in retirement and what they pay. Human resources, $16 an hour. Online filing for delivery associate, $12. Administrative support associate, $13. Guest experience specialist, $13. Customer service representative, $16. In-store shopper, $16. Actual clerk, accounting clerk, $45. Beauty consultant, $16. Store driver, $13. Cashier, $11. School bus drivers, $18. Crossing guards, $15. Housekeepers, $17. So we're talking about for retired people, and that's good for them. But what about somebody who's not retired since?
Right. Those people are earning that money on top of Social Security.
Right.
Which creates then some benefit. But one of the reasons that those jobs are being offered to retired people is those retired people are willing to take that kind of compensation. And it's diluting the job market and the capacity of people who are working and raising families. You know, just think of, if you look at the median income in Wisconsin, $65,000 earned by two breadwinners, if they're splitting it between them, that's $32,000 apiece. $32,000 apiece is not many dollars an hour, and it's not a livable wage. And it turns out that $64,000 isn't a livable median income.
Got to go to a little news. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
me. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. K.
Sloopy lives in a bad part of town.
And everybody, yeah, tries to put my Sloopy down. Sloopy, I don't care what your daddy do. Cause you know, Sloopy girl, I'm in love with you. And so I say now, hey, oh,
all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is my co-host. And you know, Sandy, it just comes to a point where this is such a big issue that has to be tackled in bites. And so we need to incrementally work on different segments of this with our government to repair this. We've allowed decades of this slide to go on.
Well, you look at the arguments that go on, however, and the extent to which people don't recognize how it hits home. So currently, you know, Evers has just vetoed this bill that relates to child daycare support. And the Republicans passed a bill that had much more modest child daycare built into it, along with a big tax reduction.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the tax reduction isn't going to help the median income families. It's going to help people way above the median income families, but losing daycare benefits will definitely be a detriment to the median family that has children who need daycare, because daycare is very expensive, private daycare. You know, 1.5 kids on daycare in a private setting is $18,000 a year minimum. Okay. And so people need to start looking at how the issues that are being debated affect a broad range of people and affect a broad range of working people in America and are destabilizing our workforce.
So Sandy, what we've done is we're pitting one group of Americans against another group of Americans. And so, let's go to Charles from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Charles. How are you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
I am doing fine. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys coming up, and you know, and may have a wonderful weekend after that. My concern is this. You're bringing up the fact of the matter is this, and I'm assuming that we're still on the subject of, you know, what is a, you know, average income for someone, or,
yes,
or what is, how money affects it. Let's put it this way. If it wasn't for Ronald Reagan, I'd be getting another $275 a month on my Social Security, because now I have to pay tax on it.
I can't argue with you on facts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think that there have been so many things that have eroded the capacity of fixed income earners and modest income earners, or moderate or even average income earners in this country, to live comfortably. Okay. So many of the things that have been done, which have supported a strong economy, have not supported the robust experience of median America. Okay. The median families in America, those who live below the median, and fixed income earners. And so I'm afraid that America is being asked to live vicariously through the top 10%, because the top 10% are the ones who are experiencing a great deal of prosperity. And I guess the rest of America is basically being told, or is being
suck
asked
it up.
to basically experience all this vicariously. Look, we've got a powerful economy. We've got all these great data. We've got numbers to support it. Well, yeah, we've got lots of people employed. How well employed are they? What does that employment get them, you know, in terms of comfort and status?
And if you're not doing well, it's because of you. Because all these opportunities exist in our nation. This is how it's being explained. And then it makes people feel as if they're failures because they're not able to navigate a system that is set there to not make it possible for the masses of the people to succeed on that level.
Well, it's not clear what the impediments are to keep people from getting the jobs that are out there waiting that could be highly valuable. I mean, why is it that the trades and the home service businesses, heating, ventilating, air conditioning, plumbing, carpentry, right, all that stuff is looking for workers? I'm not sure why they can't find them. But even if you filled all those jobs, you'd still be experiencing this problem for media in America.
Go ahead, Charles, quickly.
The other thing that I don't understand is, okay, the Republicans are saying that, you know, Social Security is going to go bottom up by, 2035. Well, if the Republicans wouldn't have forced the issues I believe it was Reagan through, you know, they stole money out of Social Security, $8+ trillion. The other thing is this. Social Security for some people is so low, they can't afford to live.
Agreed.
They have to find a supplementary job to pay for it.
Agreed.
And with that, I'll let you guys go after that.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, clearly Social Security is meted out based on how much money you made.
Yeah, right now, the Social Security complainers are the baby boomers, who have done quite well. Well, it's the people after the baby boomers who are really going to suffering the shorter end of the stick. If this whole issue of Social Security isn't solved and resolved, and of course, one of the ways is to increase the cap so that right now people who earn more than $400,000 a year pay no FICA on a portion of their income above $400,000. If you lift that cap, you can solve the problem. The people who are now earning well over $400,000 will complain, but those people are thriving in the economy. So I think that we have to get our heads screwed on straight about what it is we want a government to do, the services that it provides to the people, how we prioritize what they do. We've got to get over this need to cut taxes all the time. What we need to do is focus on making government effective, and making it effective at delivering to the people the things that the people need.
All right. Got to leave it there. We'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Up next, Jane McNair filling in for Christian Bry. We'll be right back on As Goes Wisconsin.
What Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows like Friends for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.